Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad. We're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson himself. Pete, how you doing? What's going on?
A very good morning to you, Christopher. It is 8 o'clock here in Lyon-Sea, Southend. And I am pleased to announce that arriving today will be something I've been waiting for a very long time. No, not my imported Japanese car.
A sense of self-worth?
No, that's been promised for a very long time, but will never arrive. I think DPD have got it. They threw it over my fence some years ago and it got stolen. I am about to receive today a nail gun.
Oh, God.
Chris.
A nail gun.
If you want two things nailed together very quickly with a satisfying thump, I can do that for you for a small fee. I am now... Yeah. Or will be this afternoon the owner of a gosh darn nail gun, and I'm excited.
Sounds like you're bracing yourself for the zombie apocalypse, Pete.
Well,
nail guns are the key to defeating zombies.
If the zombies want me to attach two very thin bits of plywood together, I'll be able to do so. Maybe I'll become their king.
Oh dear! I've never used a nail gun. Is it quite fun?
I don't know. I've never used a nail gun. We'll see how we go, shall we? It's I bought one last week.
Depends what you're nailing.
Yeah, I bought one last week and I didn't realise it was like one of those air compressor guns. And I was like, that's not right. I can't use that. I don't have an air compressor. So instead of buying an air compressor, because that's very much my direction of travel when I buy anything. It's very much the old woman who swallowed the fly. She swallows a fly, and then she swallows a spider, and then she swallows a mouse, so you know, whatever, to get them, to, you know, throwing bad money after, good money after bad. And so instead, I just took it back and said, I'm just going to buy a proper electric one. So I'm very excited, Chris, that I'm going to be nailing all day. But you know, when you've got a hammer in your hand, everything looks like a nail. When you've got a nail gun in your hand, you've already got the nails inside the nail gun. So very exciting times in Donaldson, Shea Donaldson.
Oh dear! It kind of fits the narrative of Halloween, the horror of Halloween.
Yes,
the Ferrari of nail guns,
the Farage, the Nigel Farage of
Ferrari,
the true Halloween spirit, Nigel Farage. Chris, what happened? So my mate, who I went to Halloween with, and I dressed as one of the characters from Yakuza.
Of course,
a few years ago in Shibuya, I went with him, right. And he dressed as a weird sort of lion man with a cool jacket on. And he Great. Went back this year. I didn't realise he was gone, but he went back with a friend and texted me, "I'm in Japan. Where shall we go for Halloween and stuff?" And so, like, I'm so excited that my love of, you know, Shibuya Shinjuku Halloween has rubbed off on a man that took his friend, and presumably that friend will take their friend to Halloween in Japan, really mugging off the mayor of Shibuya once again.
Yeah, I mean I've seen a lot of photos this year, because obviously we talked about it the other week, didn't we? Like they're cracking down on Shibuya. There's no fun allowed this year in Halloween. You can't eat or drink or walk in Shibuya.
Yeah,
and like there's some really like dystopian looking images of Shibuya Scramble Crossing. Well, they've sort of cordoned most of it off, and they've rather worryingly funneled everyone into this sort of like funnel of people going around the side of the station. It looks a bit sketchy, not going to lie.
Right.
It doesn't look good, but they've sort of closed it off.
It seemed,
shame, really.
It seemed to go off without a hitch, though. Nobody, obviously, yeah. the consensus. It seems to be very much like they're using the tragedy in Korea to possibly just get rid of a real pain in the bum for a lot of the police in the Shibuya district. I mean, I very much enjoyed Burger King in Shibuya doing that kind of video. They made like a zombie based sort of like horror video kind of trailer, like a movie trailer, didn't they?
Really?
Sort of saying, don't come to Burger King in Shibuya over Halloween because it will be closed because we're not opening. And to be fair, Burger King and to a further extent McDonald's on Shibuya on like Halloween sort of weekend. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, I think is the worst of Japan. I think it really is. It's like Blackpool on a Saturday night. You know, it's just incredible.
I mean, let's not go too far, Pete.
No,
let's
sorry. Far, yeah, but, sorry. Very rude. Yeah. Very rude of me.
I learned a ridiculous statistic the other day that Burger King is actually the fastest growing burger chain in Japan. It makes sense. I mean, just before I left Sendai, they set up a Burger King, and I was like, no, why didn't you set this up the last 5 years I've been around here? Why now? Literally a few weeks before I leave. But Burger King's growing in a way. Like, my image of Burger King's not that good. I find whenever I go in, the customer service is always appalling. I don't know if that's just... maybe it's just me. Maybe they just don't like me. But like,
maybe
I
they
find
don't have the scale. Maybe they don't have the scale that McDonald's has, the foothold in Japan. So they're just kind of feeling it out, I suppose. But I do like... Burger King have always done quite interesting stuff in Japan. And also... I'm kind of taking it back to the Xbox 360 game Sneak King, where they made a video game with the king, like the kind of resin kind of figurine kind of like mask thing that they wear,
right.
To be the king, and you had to sneak around and I'd either steal people's burgers or give them a burger or something like that. I can't remember, but it was really macabre and weird and strange and interesting. So I like what Burger King do. I love their burgers. And I really like their chips as well. Everyone slags off the chips. So I think they're one of the best
good.
Chips
they're
on
good.
The high street. So, yeah.
They're not McDonald's kids.
I'm a Burger King guy.
Good.
Well, they were the first place I ever had a meat-free burger, and it was a meat-free Whopper. It's really bloody good. Really bloody good.
It is good, yeah.
Well,
I remember
them.
I went to Kyoto with Charlotte, and we didn't go to, like, the Arashi Bamboo Forest. We didn't go to the Kiyomizu-dera Temple. We didn't go... to the Fushimi Inari Shrine, we went to Burger King because she was like, you've got to try this burger crust. It's fucking vegan burger or some shit. And I ate it. And I was like, oh, actually, this is quite good. This
probably
is
reminds her of her growing up in New York by the sounds of that accent, Chris.
I have got a lot of work to do on naming Charla's accent. But yeah, the burger was good. Next time in Kyoto, I'll go there. People always ask me to like take them on like a tour of Japan. It would be shit if I did. It would be like, all right, we're going to Burger King.
We're going to Burger King, yeah.
McDonald's in Osaka. But we got a story this week from Thodgy.
Thodgy.
YouTube comment. Because we are now on YouTube.
Yes.
And you can comment and send us your questions there as well.
Look at our
It begins. Hello, cleansed Chris and pristine Pete. When I was younger...
Cleansed Chris.
Oh, my God. When I was younger, I went to Japan on a six-week school exchange, and I was staying in a homestay in Kyoto, not far from the train station. I hope you had the Burger King vegan burger. I was really into running, as I'm sure you are too. I thought that it would be a good idea to run up to Nijō Castle and then on to the Imperial Palace to check them out. It should have taken me about 80 minutes, but on my way back, I got a bit lost. And this was before smartphones, and I had no map with me, so I asked an old man directions on how to get back to the train stations, and I knew how to get home from there. He sent me in the opposite bloody direction, and I ended up running for over 2 hours. When I finally got home, and I told my host family, who didn't seem that worried that I was gone for so long, they said Japanese old men are notorious for playing pranks. So it turned out I just got punked. I just got punked by an old man. That's brilliant. Have you had any similar situations where you've been pranked by the elderly? Also, on that run, I saw a guy on a motorbike get T-boned at an intersection.
Oh,
fantastic.
Wow.
The other car just drove off and everyone just looked at him while he wheeled his bike to the side of the road. All the best, Thodgy, from YouTube. Well, there you go. It's all very sinister, this old man sending you in the wrong direction so you can witness a crime. It feels almost organised, as though God willed it.
It's sort of mixing in my story of when I was in Seoul one night, just wandering around. An old man, presumably high after a prank or two, he ran me over with his scooter, and then I didn't press charges. It was practically a hit and run. It's interesting, isn't it? Like they are naughtier. The old men, aren't they? They are kind of, there's a man in Golden Guy who's an old man who just goes from bar to bar. There's a man in Golden Guy, old man in Golden Guy, who just goes from bar to bar with a acoustic guitar and plays the Beatles at you. He only knows two songs. People seem to just let him get on with it, but he just...
Which songs are they?
I think it might be She Loves You, Yeah, 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 which is, you know, excruciating. Oh. He's not that good at it. But he gets a
rain on his parade.
And he bashes
he's not
out,
that good at the two songs he can do.
And he bashes out some Beatles. He's nice enough, but I just think people put up with old men being naughty all the time. If I walk from bar to bar with a guitar, they'd be like, get the hell out. Get that man out of here.
I'm taking notes when I'm 70. I just kick someone down the stairs for fun. It's a prank, though, isn't it? I'm
but, like, old. Hey. 50, you're in 50, you should be in prison. By the time you get to 70, naughty old man's been naughty, isn't it?
No, especially in Japan, like, the elderly are sort of treated like kids here.
Yeah.
It's really weird. I don't get it. They can get away with anything. And paradoxically, even though they can be a bit bratty at times, they also have the sort of high level of power because they're the... You know, the elderly, right? The senpai, whatever. Mm. So you can get away a lot with a lot being old in Japan. It's it's probably the best country in the world to be old.
That's
so you can get away with these terrible things, apparently.
I think you can also get away with being very rude as well. But that's elderly people all over the world. Do you remember that video of Miyazaki, the Studio Ghibli guy? He
destroying his son.
Destroying his son. What? Destroying his son?
You've not seen that? His son makes a film. His son made a film
of AI, like a body that's like walking around, like using like procedural generation computer graphics.
No, not this one. I can't remember. I think it was like a normal film, like an animated film, maybe. And Hayao Miyazaki goes and watches it, and then halfway through, he walks out, and the camera follows him as he lights up his cigarette, and he's like, "It's shit."
similar vibe. So there was a part of Studio Ghibli that was doing like research into like automated animation, if you know what I mean. Like they basically got like a 3D polygonal model of a human, gave it no information about how to get from one side of the room to the other, and it just sort of flops around, and it looks like a zombie because it doesn't, like, the zombie doesn't understand how to operate a body because the brain's dead or whatever. But like, it sort of flops from one side of the room to the other just by like firing off random muscles, and they sort of said, look, this would be quite good for the future. You know, we could have this animation where it simulates what a zombie would move like, and we could use it for an animation in the future. And Miyazaki, very much like he reacted to his son's a bit of art, just went, I know, this is disgusting. This is an affront to God. I hate this. I hate everything about this. I think you've wasted your time. You're a nightmare person. Like, all of this stuff. Like, he just burst out. But it was just this beautiful, sweet, I know... You're a C word.
Miyazaki's a ruthless man.
He is. He's a cheeky old man.
Well, he can get away with it. He's old and he's done some pretty damn cool things. Mm. But we've got a story this week about nothing related to what we've discussed. It is about cars, of all things. Japan is either the first or second biggest exporter of cars on the planet. Mm. Am I right, Pete? Fact check me. It's either Japan, Germany or America. I know Japan's one of the big three.
Well, in my life, I'm importing a car from Japan, so it's got 100% record in my eyes, to be quite frank. I actually got a video of the car running a couple of days ago. I think I set it over, Chris, and the warning lights have gone off the dashboard because there was a battery failure. So they replaced the battery, and they're going to stick it on a boat. So I'm a little bit more relaxed about the situation. Anyway, moving on to the Tokyo Mobility Show, which sounds less interesting than it is, if you know what I mean. It sounds very much like you'd be looking at like mobility scooters and, you know, cranes to lift people who have limited movement around their house, but it's not. It's a mobility show, and it's basically a car show that focuses heavily on battery-powered electric vehicles. Pretty much every booth is basically, they've just basically driven up with their flagship electric vehicle. And so, yeah, the Tokyo Auto Show is very much in full swing very soon. And Toyota and the big ones, Nissan, are among the manufacturers showing new electric vehicle concepts. And it's all basically sort of saying, look, Tesla may have a foothold in America, but the Japanese are coming, even though EVs make up less than 5% of the auto market. And so, like, they are... So the Japanese... I think this is a real push for not only, like, getting their models around the world, but the Japanese have been quite restricted... not restricted, but, like, quite reluctant to buy new electric vehicles because they have strong kind of Japanese brand loyalty. They love their Toyotas, they love their Nissans, they love the Japanese brands. And so a lot of the electric vehicles have come from Ford, they've come from Tesla, obviously foreign companies. So basically they're hoping that this new influx of, like, Toyota and Nissan electric vehicle models is going to increase the interest in Japan. I mean, it's very much like Japan used to be at the forefront of, like, of car technology, but by taking a sort of step back on the whole EV market, they've kind of lost a bit of a foothold, sort of thing. So this could be a big chance for Japanese manufacturers to get back in there.
Absolutely. Toyota kind of famously were kind of very reluctant to go full EV, even though they had, like, the Prius, which is a hybrid, did very well.
A lot of the taxis, after the year 1999, I think, Toyota Crowns, the big taxis out there, they were hybrids. So most of those are hybrids. But obviously, it's a lot cheaper to replace that battery
I've got a hybrid car. I've got the Honda Fit, and it's extremely economical and reliable and, you know. So I think Japan's a bit reluctant. When something works, they have a bit of a, it's not broken, don't fix it mentality, right? So they held off, and Toyota was like, the future's hydrogen. We're going to have hydrogen cars. And that still hasn't really gone anywhere. I think they're still pursuing it a bit, but meanwhile, EV cars are taking over the world, selling incredibly well. Tesla's doing well. Chinese companies are doing well. And in fact, just this year, China overtook Japan as the world's largest car exporter. Actually,
right. That makes sense.
Well, they claim to have done that. I think I looked up the figures. Official figures in May this year, China exported 1 million vehicles in the first 3 months of the year, while Japan exported a mere 950,000. So Japan's still doing pretty damn well. But
isn't there a big kind of like? Isn't there a thing that, like, you can't import a car direct? Obviously, you have dealers, Toyota dealers in America and stuff, but isn't there a thing where you can't buy a car in Japan and export it to America until it's 25 years old or 20 years old? Because I think that was part of the deal, really. I think you have to, you know, you can't put one of those things on the road, if that makes sense. I think that's the case.
I think that might be bollocks. Where have you heard that from?
I think because I'm trying to import a Toyota Century, they're only starting to become interesting to collectors in America because of their age, they're only able to import, like, 1999 previous models, which is generation one, I think, or 97.
So they can't export the cars from Japan, but they can build those cars in America.
I think they can sell them officially. Like. A dealer in America can sell a Toyota, but I think you can't buy a Toyota in Japan and import it. Whereas you can do that in the UK, you just got to pay the tax on it. I'm fairly certain if it's under 20, 25 years old. I'm sure somebody in the YouTube comments could let me know.
It's possible, because I know America got very scared about Japan exporting cars and taking over the market back in, like, the 80s.
Oh, it was like, I mean, if they're scared of China now, they were double scared of Japan in the 80s, weren't they?
Double scared. Double scared. The story of Japan in the 80s by Pete Donaldson. The fear. It's true, though. They were scared, and they did a lot of things. The Plaza Accords to help kind of reshape Japan's currency. I think this is a good... it's good that Japan's finally cottoned onto the fact that people don't really want hydrogen cars. You want EVs. Mm. I was over in Norway back in August, and every other car was an EV that I saw. Mm. I think Norway's got the most, sort of the highest adoption of EV cars for a country. It was a ridiculous statistic. I can't remember what it is, but it was very high. When I was in Hong Kong a few years ago.
Is that like tax breaks?
Yeah. Right. It was quite heavily subsidised. And Hong Kong, when I was there, I have never seen so many Teslas. They were everywhere, absolutely everywhere. So, yeah, I think it's good that Japan is going to get kind of step up to the mark on this, because they run the risk of losing to competitors in China like they already are in so many other ways. You know, it's a real shame. Just Japan's electronic market, when you compare it to how innovative it was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, it really is kind of depressing.
Well, especially because look at the build quality of the products coming out of Japan, and they're always... I mean, I think 99 times out of 100, they are always... like. Whereas like back in like the 80s, and maybe there was that kind of jingoistic kind of political kind of idea, guitars, cars, they were criticised for being quite poor build quality, but they've improved so much, and they just do everything properly. You go and get yourself a Tesla in America, and apparently like you can get like you can measure the gaps between the doors, the kind of the hoods, Jesus, and stuff like that, and they're all different sizes. The fit and finish is just not up there with what you get out of Japan, what you even get out of China, to be honest, these days. So it's a real opportunity, I think, for Japan to give quality, cheap electric vehicles that look good as well. So, yeah, that's what I would be doing if I was head of Toyota, guys. Come on.
Well, it's not a complete lost cause. You know, Sony are still pumping out amazing tech and cameras. Like, all the cameras that I use are Sony, and I think most YouTubers have sort of switched to Sony. From Canon, another Japanese
company. I'm using a Sony now.
Good man. Part of the
classic
crew.
Sony,
crew.
Yeah.
Sony have nailed it, and but you know, Chinese companies are edging towards threatening sort of Sony, even like DJI releasing some fantastic cameras, like the Osmo Pocket. They've got
the drone guys. They started as drone guys, didn't they? Right.
That's them, yeah. And they've released some other cameras. So I reckon DJI could start to infringe on Sony. The camera they just released, the DJI Pocket 3, which I've bought because it's like a little. It's like a tiny camera like that. It's got a gimbal. It's very convenient for filming like gimbal footage. The footage on that is better than like a lot of good little Sony cameras. So I think that could eat into Sony's camera sales. So
nice.
I think even Sony have to be careful, to be honest. Like, it's crazy that Toshiba isn't really a thing anymore. I think Toshiba went private this year, didn't they, after losing out? And, you know, a lot of companies growing up, like, I think my first camcorder was JVC. I'm not sure.
I think Toshiba.
I don't think they exist anymore. You know?
I think Toshiba still makes televisions, Sharp. But I think they're kind of they're franchised. I think they've still got the name, certainly in the UK, and it's just a different manufacturer who take the Toshiba name. They're still good tellies to be fair, because we've used a couple in the studio, but they're pretty cheap as well. So I'm a fan of UK's. Toshiba's franchise.
naturally. Yeah. But yeah, and Sharp, you know, remember Sharp? Sharp was a big deal. That got bought by
Man United
Taiwanese company Foxconn. It's sad, really. I like to go back in time and sort of theorise what Japan would look
the
like
bosses
now
of Toshiba.
if Toshiba... and
run in with a ream of paper and crazy eyes and a pencil behind your ear. Guys, you're not going to believe what happens in 2005. You think you're on top of the world now?
I think one of the main reasons Japan fucked up was these companies did not invest in software. And of course, that's the smartphone market. The iPhone came along, demolished everyone. Until the mid-2000s, Japan had some of the most advanced handsets in the world, right? Japanese smartphones, they had Galapagos syndrome, right? We had these like hyper-advanced phones that were well ahead of everything we had. They had like TVs on their phones in like the early 2000s and the first camera phone. But then, you know, once the iPhone came along and touchscreen phones took over, the sort of hardware side of things became worthless and a commodity, effectively.
Right.
So I think Apple is a big reason for the downfall of Japanese companies, but Japanese companies for not investing in software and always being at the forefront of hardware, but not throwing as much effort onto the IT side of things. So, unfortunate. But Japan's still doing well. It's not the end of the world.
They'll be all right.
I'd like to go back and theorise what it would have been like if they'd managed to maintain their innovation and sort of where they had been in the 80s and early 90s. If they could keep that up, where would Japan be now? Interesting thought. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with the stories, comments and questions in the fax machine. Just in a moment. In the fax machine. We're not going physically inside the fax machine. That would be death.
I'm going to pop myself right in there.
one size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Wow.
And we're back with the Fact Machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
Just a little cough there. Dear Crispy Chicken Chris and Popcorn Chicken Pete, Lily here from Glasgow. Me and my friend Andrew are going to Japan in early March, and I have two questions. We'll be going to onsens, and seeing as I'm a woman and my friend is a guy, we're likely to be separated by gender and have onsen time alone. This is absolutely fine, but how do people usually coordinate the time they should bathe for and meet up with their friends again afterwards? Is this the most specific question we've ever had on the fax machine? I think it might be. Is there a clock inside the onsen area? Or should we just take our time, enjoy the onsen, and message each other later? And he says massage each other later to see where each other is. Is this not usually an issue because people would go with their group of guy or gal pals? I need to know. Love the podcast big on YouTube. It's even better than Family Mart Fried Chicken. Well, we're not sure we entertained that thought. All the best. Lily, I want to say a big hello to my two cats, Evie and Carby. Chris,
well, it's clear.
Any ideas?
You should judge it by how like wrinkled your skin is, like
right,
tree bark.
Okay, yeah, fair.
See how your skin looks after like half an hour, and that'll let you know.
Maybe when you're done. Weird... Just, I mean, presumably the men and the women are usually separated by just a wall.
True.
Tantalizing.
You can often hear both sides.
Yeah, so if you just scream when you're finished, I'm finished, and then you just meet outside.
I think we should do that. To be fair, I had this problem weirdly with Charlotte the other day. We went to an onsen. It was separate, and I think to my glee, there was a clock. So sometimes there's a clock. Bit hit or miss though.
Right.
So just guesstimate.
Just
look at
if a man is standing up out of the water. Just judge like a sundial at the shadow of his penis.
Oh.
There we go.
Oh, dear. We've got a story from Desiree. He says, hello, Peanut Pete and Chestnut Chris. My name's Desiree. I'm from Massachusetts. I have a random question related to Japanese names and the cultural difference in calling individuals by their last name. In your time as a teacher, or really any time that you have been in a professional setting with a large group of people, what would happen if there were multiple people with the exact same name, or with the same like last name? Mm. I know people are referred to by their last names in Japan, but what happens when individuals with the exact same last name... why is the same question here twice? This happened when I was a teacher, actually. It's in the book. Check out the Abroad Japan book. I had this exact same situation. On my first day, I met a woman who was my supervisor. And her name was Saito, or Sato,
right.
Saito. And then I met the vice principal of the school, and he was also called Saito. And when I asked him, what's your name? He's like, oh, Saito-san, Saito-sensei. I was like, oh, married couple. And he was like, no. It was kind of awkward.
They'd probably had it before.
Well, but he was like, everybody is just called Saito. And I was like, ha, ha, ha. And it turned out like a third of the school teachers were literally just called Saito or Sato.
Amazing.
So there you go. But there's no way. It just gets awkward. You'd have to elaborate and be like, the vice principal Sato, or use their position in the company kind of awkwardly.
Ugly Sato. Ugly Sato. Beautiful Sato. Angry Sato. ugly Sato's now Angry Sato. It's weird, that, isn't it?
Angry Sato.
Angry Sato.
The successor to Angry Birds.
Yeah.
Angry Sato. We've got one last question from Claire. He says, hello, Cuckoo Chris and Puffin Pete. I'm a massive fan, listened avidly for many years, and I've been to Japan a few times from Australia, but my partner has never been before, and we're thinking of going next year. So how do you deal with taking new people to places you've already visited a bunch of times? Do you find that those spots change enough each time that you do go, or do you sod the other person and pick new places for yourself and miss out on the iconic spots? All the best, Claire. I would just miss out all the iconic spots and just have a good holiday for yourself, Claire. Be selfish.
Yeah,
what did you do? I mean, you had this conundrum yourself, Pete. You've been here 1,000 times, then you brought your partner over 2 months ago. And
well, it turns out all the places I've been and loved, she didn't necessarily want to go or love. Because,
you just like a ship, couple of bars in Shibuya.
Correct. Guilty. I do. I like noise. I like people bibbing their own. I like smoke. I like the grit. I like the grime of a city. And Sarah didn't really like any of that, so we had to find some rather relaxing places. So I got to experience Japan, a weird part of Japan that I'd never experienced. But then also, like, Kyoto was a bit of an eye-opener for me because I've only ever sort of arrived. I've not seen a lot of the stuff, you know, the usual eat a cucumber on that big hill on that street where everybody's clumping around in clogs and stuff like that. So I'd not done half the stuff that I should have done. So it's quite nice to sort of tick a few boxes. As long as you've not been like 50 million times, get yourself a coolish, hang back, let them enjoy the wonder of going to wherever you're supposed to be going. Great stuff. Very good. Very jealousy. Jealousy? Jealous. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Shut up. Jealousy.
Fair play to you for getting up at 8. I would never get up at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I got up at 7, Chris. I'm an early boy these days.
Jesus.
I'm a grown-up.
I haven't got up before 8 in as long as I can remember.
On a working day, it's 6:30. Get the dog up.
Go
for a little dog walk with Sammy. Sammy Amiobi, the dog. And then I'm off to work.
Well, I usually end up going to bed like a couple of hours before you wake up then.
Like, I know, I can tell from your text, it's amazing.
Terrible
I'm
habits.
Like, I'm like, Chris, even with the time difference, this is insane.
I am a moron. But that being said, keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com or comment on the YouTube video. Will you pass the test of writing the cumbersome long email, or will you just write a comment? You decide. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here to do all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it? to the Premier League.
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.